I love that. Thank you, Todd. We don't know, do we? They were preparing and trying to wrap their minds around the fact that their dad was going to be gone, and God said, "Not yet, not yet." And he was ready. You know, Dad was ready to go. He was ready to go home with his Savior, but God's not through with him. So we do have so much to be thankful for. This story, this event that is recorded only in Luke's gospel, is a story about several things. It's a story about healing. It's a story about Jesus having the power of God in him, because he is God. It's having Jesus having control over nature and people's health. But it's also a story about gratitude. And that's why we want to talk about it today, because in this season of Thanksgiving, it's important for us. And this story tells us a little bit about ourselves. It's kind of holding the mirror up for us to look at ourselves. I'm going to just kind of go through the story that Todd just read for us, but I'm going to make some comments along the way to help us kind of break this story down and think about it. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's traveled a lot. And as he is on along the border between Samaria and Galilee, he comes across these 10 men. Maybe they've heard that he is traveling in the area. They've heard stories about what he has done. And these 10 men have leprosy. Now, leprosy, thankfully, is not something we have to worry about in this country today. It is something that's still around in the world, but it's foreign to us. Leprosy could be anything from a little small white patch lesion on the skin. But as it progressed, and it is a progressive disease, it would begin to eat the flesh, and it could get to the point where even fingers and toes would be decaying and fall off of the body. It was a debilitating illness, and it was one that would be painful as well. It was so contagious that you go back and read Leviticus, that the people, and if they had any kind of skin lesion whatsoever pop up, they were immediately sent outside the camp, outside of the city, and they had to stay away from everyone because they didn't want everyone else to get this. It was a debilitating disease, but it was also a socially cruel disease because it cut people off. So these men, these 10 men, stood at a distance because that's what the law required. The Levitical law required people who had leprosy to, if they saw people coming, to cover themselves and say, "Unclean, unclean." And so people could be warned to stay away. So they did what they were supposed to do. They stood at a distance, but they called out in a loud voice, not just because they were physically distant and they needed to get the volume up, but they called out in a loud voice because they were desperate for some healing. And they called out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And Jesus, when he saw them, he didn't say, "You're healed. Your faith has made you well." He just said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, that's what was supposed to happen when somebody was healed. If they got over this lesion and say it wasn't leprosy, it was something else, and it went away on its own, they could go back to the priest and they could say, "Look, I'm clean now." And the priest would do a ceremonial washing and blessing, and they could go back into society, back into the synagogue. They could become part of the social culture again. But until then, they were physically distanced and shut out. But Jesus didn't say, "You're healed." He said, "Go show yourself to the priests." They weren't healed right away. So once again, we see Jesus giving someone healing, but they have to act on it. Their faith required some action. And so these men, all 10 of them presumably, go along their way, and somehow, sometime along the way, the pain that's in their feet begins to go away, and they look down, and maybe the fingers that have been missing have grown back. The patches of skin that were diseased are now clean. I can't imagine. They go through this, and in their minds they're thinking, this is happening. I'm restored. And they probably, all the other 9, go straight to the priest and they want to show themselves. They want to show them, "Hey, I'm clean now. I can go back into society. I can be back with my family." They did what the law required. They did what Jesus said. But one said, "Wait a minute. I'm going to go back to the one who did this for me." One of them came back. And now it's easy for us, it's easy for me to look at these other nine and to say, oh, shame, shame, shame. But put yourself in their shoes. They're being restored. Their bodies are whole again. They go show themselves to the priest. They want to go back to their families. They think, you know what? I can go back to the trade that I once had. I can go back in the synagogue and I can worship now. It's easy for us to throw stones at them, but put yourself in their shoes. But the one who did come back, look at the words that Luke uses. The one who did come back was praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. It says he praised God in a loud voice, or praised and thanked Jesus in a loud voice. The same loud voice that they used when they stood at a distance and desperately cried out to Jesus for mercy. You know, when we are down and out and when we are hurting, we go to God with some fervent prayers, don't we? When we hit our knees and when things are really tough is when we pour our hearts out to God and we ask for things to happen. We ask for changes. Change us. Change the situation. Make them well. Help them to see the gospel, Father, and what they need to do so they'll give their lives to you. We pray earnestly. And then when whatever we're praying earnestly for happens, sometimes we just kind of like, oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And we move on. But this man, he's showing us, and Luke uses the same word, praising God, praising Jesus, and thanking him in the same loud voice that he used when he cried out for mercy. It's a lesson there for us. We need to be just as fervent and diligent in thanking God as we are in asking him for things. Psalm 9:1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. That's pouring yourself out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds, Psalm 9 says. And it tells us that this one guy who came back was the Samaritan. The ones the Jews hated. And the ones that, Samaritans hated Jews and Jews hated Samaritans. They did not mix. But you notice that when they all have leprosy, there's no racial barriers. They're just all in the same boat and they're all equally toast. And they're just like, we might as well hang out together. We got this thing going on, and they hang out together. But the one, the Samaritan, is the one who comes back. And he is the outsider, the Gentile, the one who is not from the chosen nation. But Jesus loves destroying the walls that we build around race and all kinds of other things to separate us from people. He tears those things down. And then Jesus says in verse 17, weren't all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Notice Jesus says, only one has returned to give praise to God. Jesus, again, is claiming to be God. He has shown that he is God by this miraculous thing that he has done. And then he says this thing that seems a little odd right here. He says, your faith has made you well. Now, this man did not heal himself. He believed, but he acted on his faith. And by acting on his faith, Jesus made him well. But the words that he used here, made you well, could just as well be rendered, saved you. Your faith has saved you. So it is implied here that Jesus not only healed this Samaritan, but he gave him salvation at the same time. Jesus said, your faith has saved you. This man acted on his faith, and Jesus healed him and saved him. And his gratitude led him back to Jesus. It led him into God's presence with praise. That's what gratitude should do for us. It should lead us right back to God with praise. Now, we haven't experienced leprosy, but we have so much to be thankful for. I followed the advice of the old song this week, count your blessings. And what does it say about count your blessings? Name them one by one. So I just pulled out a legal pad and I started looking around and I just started jotting things down. Coffee, first thing in the morning. Oh, or Dr. Pepper over ice, whatever. I read this as I was thinking about it. I was reminded of a quote I saw a long time ago. It said, I love the smell of coffee in the morning and the sound of no one talking to me while I drink it. That's awesome. coffee in the morning, the smell, the taste, the energy that I get from it, it's just one of the little things that I'm grateful for. A walk outside, even the ability to walk. I think about people who don't have that ability, and I take it for granted every day. And then as I started writing things down, I noticed I started to categorize. They were all around the five senses. I thought about things that I could see. I see the fall colors. And if you haven't experienced the fall colors, then drive south on Lemons Gap Road out towards the Walker's place, or drive out 89 towards our place and go to 277 and back into Abilene, and you'll just be amazed. It's not New England, but it's beautiful. I thought of the sights of those colors, and I thought about the birds I was watching out the front window. And we get, at our place, we see dove. We've seen some wild turkey. The cardinals are abundant. We've even got a family of some painted buntings that are hanging out around our place, which we love that. We see the occasional deer or a fox that hangs out at our place. And as I look at those creatures, I think, man, thank you, Lord. Such a blessing. Walking around, I came across some cactus. We've got cactus on our place. And I thought, you know what? There's no plant around, except maybe the mesquite, that embodies toughness and endurance like the cactus does. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for making the cactus. I thought about the blooms on the lantanas that are gone now, but they bloomed during the summer. Another tough weed that I love as a flower. Things that we see. And I thought about Tom, what he said about sun shining on mud. There's nothing better than seeing the sun shining on mud. It means we've had a good rain and now the sun is out. And I thought about, as I watched the sunset, these unbelievable sunsets that we have in West Texas with the color amazing. And if you've ever lived in a place with really tall trees, I've lived in Florida and the trees are, you know, just over 100 feet tall. You miss the sunsets. I'd have to go to the beach to see the sunset. And even then, it couldn't rival a West Texas sunset. Things I see. And then I thought of things that I smell, and bacon happened to be cooking that morning. And man, oh, I love that. What a wonderful thing. Or the smell of fresh cut grass, honeysuckle growing on a fence, the smell of fresh rain falling on warm dirt. There's rain again. I love rain. The smell of bread baking or meat on the grill. Or a burning pile of cedar that I've gotten to push with the tractor. You know, it's just, I love those things. Or the smell of your childhood home. Every house has its own smell. Or your grandmother's perfume. The things that you remember. Smells that you smell and it takes you back to someone or some place or some time. The things that I can touch or feel. The cool fall air in the morning. Or if it's a little too cool, the warmth of a nice warm home, or an electric blanket, which is really popular at our house. Or the warmth of sunshine on your face on a cool day. When I was stationed in Alaska, I remember thinking back and remembering what it felt like to go out and get into a hot car on a warm day. Because you don't experience that up there. And I missed that. Or a pat on the back. A caring hand on your shoulder, a firm handshake, a hug, things that these lepers had forgotten all about, a touch. And I love the one story of Jesus healing a leper. Before he healed him, he reaches out and touches him. A hug that we see lots of here on Sunday mornings, or your spouse just touching you as they walk by in the house, or the feeling of a tear making its way down your cheek when you're just so happy that your eyes leak. Things that we touch and feel. Or sounds. Here comes rain again. I got rain on every one of these senses, I think. Rain falling on a metal roof. Water gently flowing over rocks in a stream. Or your grown child still calling you dad or mom. Or your grandchildren yelling your name as they run to you. It's priceless. Or knowing that your children are getting what we call at our house the education, because payback sounds a little vindictive. But as your children are raising their own children, and you get to see that, okay, our kids now see that parenting's not easy. And they're learning. Our daughter Kaylee told us this week that she was in HEB with her two boys, our two grandsons. One is 2.5, and the other one's 1.5. She said they're the same child. She's just raising them twice. And the youngest one knocks over a display of Toil foil turkey pans in HEB. And so now that half of the store has focused their attention on them, the 2.5-year-old says, "Don't hit me, Mama." And I just said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." You can't buy that kind of stuff. The things that we are blessed with taste. I thought of apples, those Granny Smith apples off of Josh's tree that we had a while back, or Bluebell ice cream, or tamales that we talked about, or Lita's hot rolls, or Melinda's coconut cake that I still can't get off my mind, or a melt-in-your-mouth steak that's cooked just like you love it, just not well done. God gave us these gifts, gifts of sight, smell, sound, taste, and touch. And if we notice them, if we take note, and I hope you will, write down, make a little gratitude journal. Think of the things, these little things that you are appreciative of, and it will change you, I promise you. You will begin to be a person of gratitude, and you will stop complaining about little things that seem nonsensical. All these things I've listed are either free or they cost very little, except for the steak nowadays. And it's the little things that make life wonderful. Joni Erickson Tada said this, "Today, look around you. Surely there are some small things, little blessings, little joys, tiny hints of God's favor for which you can be grateful. Don't take things for granted today. Take them with gratitude." Well, who is Joni Erickson Tada? And a lot of you know who she is. Well, in 1967, when she was 17 years old, she was injured in a diving accident that left her a quadriplegic. She's unable to use her hands or anything below the shoulders, below the neck, actually. She spent many long months in rehab, and she even learned how to paint on canvas by holding a brush in her teeth. Her artwork is beautiful. It's finely detailed, and her paintings and prints are sought after and are collectible. And in her spare time, she's written over 40 books, she's recorded several musical albums, and she has acted as an advocate for people with disabilities and starred in a movie about her own life. And instead of letting the debilitating accident that she went through and she has suffered because of all of these years, instead of letting that turn her sour, she has cultivated a life of gratitude. So now when you hear her say, "Look around you, surely there are small things, little joys, tiny hints of God's favor for which you can be grateful," it makes it easier for me to not take things for granted, but to take things with gratitude. As I thought about my list, it started to expand from the little things, and I hope your list, as you think about it, will grow and you'll think of things a little bit higher. Think people, think church family. Your family at home is one thing. This church family is another thing that I am so grateful for. I'm grateful for the unity and the peace that we enjoy here. Even when we can we disagree on some things and we can talk about it civilly and we can just walk away and say, "It's okay. It's okay. We are one." We have a passion for Scripture here that I love and I hope we never lose. And if we ever begin to get away from the Scripture, you hold us accountable and bring us back and say, "Where is the Scripture? What does the Word say on this?" We have a deep love for God. I see it in all of you and a desire to serve. And in this church family, the spirit of laughter and fellowship, we finish a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and it takes 35, 40 minutes to clear this place out. Because of the fellowship that is just priceless. I'm telling you, a lot of places don't have that. It's a wonderful thing. I love the good-natured ribbing that takes place here. But there's also, along with that teasing that goes along, I know that there are people here that will give the shirt off of their back for the person next to them. I've seen you do it. And I love our worship together, our praise that Sean leads us in, and the scripture readings and the prayers that you offer when you come up here. And as I think about that, I think of people who can't be here with us. Like those lepers, those lepers had to stay away to keep anyone else from getting sick. We have people like Charlie and Melanie that have to stay away so they don't get sick. We don't want to give them anything. And they know what has been taken from them. And yes, they can watch virtually, and they're on right now. But it's not the same as being here. Or Mary, who is still in the hospital after 3 months. She has to stay isolated for care and to stay well. If you take worship for granted. Talk to them and find out what it's like when it's taken away from you. Go back to think about what it was like when we couldn't meet together. It was tough for me not to be able to meet with you together in worship. But if I had known that you were still here worshiping and I couldn't be here, that would have been 10 times worse. That's what they're dealing with. That's what these lepers were dealing with. Knowing that their people were worshiping in the synagogue and in the temple, but they couldn't be there. They were shut out from all of those things that mattered to them. I'm thankful for prayers offered here in humility and reverence and an awe for God. I'm thankful for old folks and young kids and everybody in between them. And I'm thankful for the people who have gone before us. The great cloud of witnesses, the people who instilled in us a faith that we had to grow from and that we eventually made our own. Now, I know as you think of them, you may think that, well, but they went too, some of them went too soon. They were too young. You shouldn't outlive a child. You shouldn't lose a sibling at such an early age. And I understand that. And when I think of my brother Keith, who died at 43, I can choose to be hurt or angry over that, or even resentment hold in my heart, or I can choose to be grateful for the time that I had with him. So be grateful for the time that you've had with somebody that has gone before you. When you feel those feelings of hurt and resentment or anger coming up, go back and focus on the good times that you had with them and be grateful. And I promise you, God will bless you with that. I am thankful for the spirit in this church. I mean, but in both the Holy Spirit and the culture that we enjoy in this church. This is a church where healing takes place. I got a letter from Mary Catherine. And she asked me to read it to you, and she didn't know what I was going to be talking about today, but it fits in so well with what I was thinking about today. This is a place where she came to heal. She didn't know that at the time, but it turned out that way. She wrestled with this, and she said, I've been trying to figure out how to say thank you, and here's what I have. She said, 3 years ago, my world stopped. My mother and I didn't have the best relationship when I was growing up, and it wasn't really until my mid-20s. And I went through a lot of therapy that began to change. She said, for the first time, we were able to have civil conversations. We were able to be around each other without knockdown, drag-out fights. We were able to see each other's perspectives on things, and we were finally able to be on good terms. For about 2 years, I had my mother back, and then she died. And my world came crashing to a halt. I was so angry, so, so angry. Why did God take her away when I was just getting to know the woman she truly was? So when I told my dad that I didn't believe in God anymore, he begrudgingly kind of went along, but God had a different plan. Buffalo Gap Church of Christ, the little church I never saw coming. From the moment I stepped in the building to the last Sunday, y'all have showered me in love. Not just human love, but true Christian godly love. You put up with my crazy social anxiety. You've listened when I've made comments, and more than anything, you invested in me. I wasn't just a seat warmer. I got calls and texts and Facebook comments when I would share my struggles, but I also got calls and texts and Facebook comments when I shared my triumphs. Walking into the main building that first Sunday, I wasn't sure what to think. I wasn't exactly on the best of terms with my little faith yet, and to be honest, I was afraid. I've seen the power of God firsthand, and I knew that if I took that first step into your building, that's all God needed, acting on that faith. She said, you all saved me, far more than any one of you will ever know. I thrived there despite my weird social anxiety. You took someone who is absolutely broken and battered and helped her see the beauty in my cracks. Y'all helped me heal in ways I didn't know I needed to be healed. Thank you seems so inadequate. I love you, and I'm blessed and better because of you. May God give you all peace. And if you ever wonder if your being in worship matters, there's your proof. A lot of you were involved in that, and you didn't even know it. Just by being here and loving on someone and supporting them helped her heal. And I can't tell you how many people over the years, I can go back and start to recall how many people have come here like she was. They were on their last leg, running on fumes, hurt, beat down, broken, and you loved them back to health. They found themselves, and more importantly, they found God again. They learned the grace and the healing, and they were restored, and after a time, they moved on. That's what this church is good for, healing people, getting them rejuvenated and ready to go serve somewhere else. It's happened over and over, and I'm thankful for you and the healing spirit in this place. So many things that we have to be thankful for. I hope you will write some of them down this week. And don't just do it this season. Do it throughout the year, and you will develop this sense of gratitude, this attitude that makes you a grateful person. And you'll see, no, we haven't been cured of leprosy. We don't fully understand the experience of these 10 lepers and their miraculous healing and what was taken away from them and what Jesus gave back. But if we think about it, we have been healed from something that's far worse than leprosy. We were outcast, not from society, but we were outcast and separated from God. Our sin would not let us into His presence. He cannot be in the presence of it. Our sin was deadlier and uglier than any disfiguration of the worst leper. And Jesus said, "Follow me." Instead of show yourselves to the priest, it was repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And we did that, and we were cleansed. We were healed. We didn't fully understand it. We never will this side of heaven, but we acted on our faith. And if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John tells us, we will continually be cleansed. That should lead us right back in here on Sunday morning to worship, just like Todd's dad was eager to get back into worship. We shouldn't be able to keep people away. This place should be packed. We should all be running back to Jesus to praise Him, and praise Him with a loud voice, and your singing is beautiful this morning. But I can picture Jesus saying, "Didn't I die for everyone? Weren't a bunch of you baptized and cleansed? Where's everybody else?" I'm glad that you're here with thanksgiving in your hearts and praise in His courts. I hope that you will develop work on the sense of gratitude. We're going to sing a song here in just a second, and we're going to stand and sing it. If you would like to come down during that song and tell us how we can pray for you, it's a great time to do it. If you aren't comfortable doing that, talk to me or one of the shepherds afterward. If you would like to be baptized into Jesus and act on that faith that you may not fully understand, like those lepers didn't really understand what Jesus was going to do for them when He said, "Go back and show yourself to the priest," but they acted on it. There's time to figure it out later. Act on your faith, be baptized, change your life, and let Him cleanse you. It'll lead you to praise. Let's stand and sing. If there's any way we can serve you, come now.